Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Jeremiah 29:11, popular scripture. Okay, we'll start from here and I go straight, key point. Today, no time. Now, I want to say this. If you have a testimony, you don't have access to send email, please ask for a testimony form. Just write it. I've gotten some emails, very humbling and powerful testimonies. Now, look at this, verse 11 and 12. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Excuse me, who is talking here? You mean God thinks? The Bible says we are engraved upon the palms. It's not only you that likes tattoo. You didn't hear that one. I said, not only you like tattoo. So when you say, Baba, what are you always doing on that seat? Writing your name. Busayo. No, let me use another font. Let me use italics. Busayo, you are looking younger. Let me change it. Sir, I will never forget you. I will never leave you. I know your mama is crazy. She forgot you. She left when you were born. So, but I know my thoughts for you. They are my thoughts. They are not borrowed thoughts. They are not imported thoughts. When I look at you, there's something I'm thinking. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forget about that, your boss. I got something for you. Hallelujah. And it's not tied to them. I know what I will do on that matter. That's what God is saying. He said, I know the thoughts. I think. I'm not just God. I think. For him to have the capacity to think, he must have a soul. I feel. When you are unhappy, he feels. When you are struggling, he's concerned. It's not just the Almighty God. He feels you. He feels you when you are sweating or inside your room without AC. He feels you. When you start your journey, breathe. Say, don't worry, I'll bless you very soon. I bless you. Say, you know, in the UK, they don't do all this. So you are starting again. So he's a man of God. The angels, I'm not sure they know what generator is anyway. Because they can. Somebody say, Pastor, do you know it's really tough in the UK? It's not easy. Pastor, everything is like, you got to wake up very early. Somebody was saying, you know, in Canada, you know, you've got to, you can't, they have special tires. That you, it's not our kind of task because sometimes it's snowy. The person's trying to describe. I say, let me get there first. Let me find out myself. You don't want me to come, Abby. You come home. Let me go and find out what the tire looks like. He says, sometimes, you know, if you don't change, there are shoes you wear during the winter, so because you could easily sleep, you know. You know, I say, let me come and find out. He said, there are some places in Canada, you have to roll on the floor. Because if you try to go down the slope, you sleep. I said, so you are a Nigerian. What you didn't do in Lagos, you will not get to Canada. You wear those thick overall, then you'll be rolling. And your parents are in Umofia and Ohafia and Ijebu, saying my daughter is in Canada. Meanwhile, you are here like a rolling stone. You are rolling. I say, let me come and roll with you. Let me go. Don't tell me all these bad things. I want to experience it. Because what we are experiencing here, oh my, not with this place, not with this level. God says, I know the thoughts I'm thinking about you. Come on, say, God is mindful of me. Now, it doesn't matter what your pastor thinks. Your pastor doesn't like you. It doesn't matter. This is God here. He has responsibilities towards you. And one of it is that you are always on his mind. When the devil tells you you're a sinner, you are not. Say, let my father judge my case. I know I'm a sinner. But let my father judge my case. It's not you. Your own matter has been decided.
Come on, say his matter has been decided. Satan's matter has been decided. Let those who are, to those to whom it is, may concern, let them come and talk. Hey, because you did abortion 7 years ago. Say, mean abortion, me, I do you, wait till you do. Wait till they pursue you forever. Now say your own, now as you did now, you don't feel born again. You don't feel born again as you did now. You are not even a human being, you are not a spirit, you are just there. The devil will always sell an idea to you that is looks realistic, but it's not the true picture as far as heaven is concerned. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, that I think fear the Lord. And he tells us what those thoughts look like. He said, they are thoughts of peace. Peace in your storm. Every time you think like God is not talking, he's telling you, my voice to you is my peace. How did you know she's your wife? Peace. How did you know he's your husband? Peace. How did you know if you should take the job? Peace. Please don't, if you get a job in Chevron, don't bother talking about that peace. You understand? Just take it. You understand? Don't even play that peace card with me. Because it ain't going to work. Say, Pastor, I got a job. It's not much. You know, I'm going to be starting from the... Oga, how much is it? Stop. I don't understand all this thing. You just talk about money, you'll be slowing down. Go straight. Say, Pastor, you know, the way we came in, because we're actually going to France, they say they want to train us, but they for now, we'll be earning our salary in Naira. For now, they paid our 42 million. I say, need that yet. Is it 42 million you want to, you do think I will have that attack? You know, people just when they want to say, Pastor, pray now. When the miracle happens, say, Pastor, it's not your fault. It's the pastor that prayed. 42 million will never be money to you. Yeah. Let me raise it. 100 million will never be money to you. Yeah. That's one of your accounts. Only one of your accounts. Just make sure you are in a place God can trust you. Because God doesn't even know what to do with that money. He's there. They don't spend it in heaven. Dollar has no value to him. He's here for his kingdom. If there's anything you can withhold from God, then he has the right to withhold his own. He said, I have thoughts of peace for you. So don't let anybody hoodwink you and tell you what is not there. God has told you. This is the kind of thing I'm thinking about you. It is on the strength of that position that he can correct you. Because all these other people lying to you, all these other voices we are listening to, their actual intention is evil, not peace. My baby girl was talking to me yesterday, and I just ignored her. Because sometimes to train a child, training is not the same thing as teaching. It's kind of some slight differences. When you are training a child, it's handsome, you know. So she went to the kitchen and put her hand over the electric, that whistling kettle, you know. Abby, that whistling kettle. So she came out and said, she did like this. I said, what are you talking about? The kettle. I said, okay. See the girl too, I put my hand on. I say, oh, so sorry. Well, why don't you go put your hands inside, run the tap over your hand. She rushed to the bedroom, came back. I say, sit down, be watching TV. This kind of thing doesn't go away like that, too. Doesn't go away. Even I'm a pastor, but I'm telling you, if you touch a whistling kettle, it doesn't go away like that, too. It will do its work. You know, she was so upset at me that she walked away and went to the room. I started crying. Like, why will I abandon? I said, I didn't abandon you. I'm trying to explain something. So when my wife came, she reported me. See, the children of nowadays, that's what they told us when we were young. Children of nowadays. Me too, I'm telling my child now. Children of nowadays. She went to report me to my wife. Daddy, she was in the kitchen. My wife said, what are you doing there? You know, she honestly didn't see it coming. You want to separate me and my wife? We were in this house before you came. I felt so sorry for her, but really, what could I have done? He said, say sorry. Oh boy. Now, let me talk to you about sometimes you go to church and you are just straight-faced. You need to laugh. Because tomorrow you are going to meet that your boss in the office again. At least be happy. Now, why I read this scripture to you is a continuation of the first service. Why many fall away from God's plan. And please, if you have your iPad, your Samsung tab, or your Mac, you can bring it out and write. If you have your, what was that electronic pen thing? Huh? Stylus? You can bring it out. If you use Akate or Sajem, please, if your phone can only do text message, I'm not talking to you. Listen to me. What that means is that take your note, your writing material, and write. But you must write. Say amen. Amen. There was one guy who went for meeting. He was just doing like this, as if he's writing. At the end of the day, he didn't write anything. The person was talking too fast for him. If he had carried his biro, not pen, no, biro, and tear paper, his destiny would have been saved. He wanted to show that, yeah, we came for a strategic session. Strategic session. At the end of the day, you don't write anything. Then they now said what they were recording, that the recording failed. Then I said, okay, go and teach your teams what we have discussed. You might say, what did you write? I can't read your writing. You can never read it. When they say, make una bring biro, he came with iPad. It can't, the thing no can work. Stay in your lane. Tell your neighbor, stay in your lane. If biro works for you, just write. Don't let anybody push you. Go and buy Mac. At the end of the day, you can't buy that 5,000 naira Microsoft package. Or you don't know. Now, make a detail now. If you go and try it and you buy Mac, that CD you are buying at Comta Village, under bridge, those Microsoft pack, it cannot work. Oh. Go and ask Loretta. It cannot work. So don't even try it. If you are not ready to spend, don't go there. Free apps that you find on Android phone, if you check iPhone, they will tell you to buy. So when you move to iPhone, you move with the price. Tell your neighbor, we move. That's 0.1. If you know how stressful it has been the last 1 week, you will not tell me to move to 0.1. I'm happy here. It's like we should not even close. Because they are waiting for me outside. They can't enter here. Why do many fall away from God's plan? Many fall away because they desire glory that God has not given them. Many fall away because they desire the glory that God did not give to them. What ended the ministry of Lucifer in heaven was his desire for what he had, he saw, but God did not allocate to him. That's why it's important for you to stay in your lane. If God is blessing somebody, rejoice with them, but wait for your time. If you eat the apple while it is unripe, it is acidic. It's apple. It's meant to be of health benefit to you. But if you eat it before the time, and everybody has his time. So rejoice with people, but know that your time is coming. And when your time comes, everything will be perfect. Come on, say perfect. But when you begin to aspire for things that, you know, your hands can't get to, before you know it, you'll be required to compromise. Can you pay the price when that time comes? Because whether you want to serve Satan or serve God, you will pay a price. Satan said, no, they do free work. And there are many people that have aspired. They saw the progress their friends were making. And they tried to push themselves in the flesh and landed into trouble. You must go to Canada by force, by force, by force. Only to realize that Canada is a lonely place. Somebody said, if you are coming to Canada, come with your husband. Come with your wife, because there's no wife here. You can be in the house for 3 months, you will not even know who your neighbor is. Just be doing, you will now notice that your friend, she's always calling you guys Nigeria. How are you guys doing? She's lonely. She's lonely. If you want to go to Canada and God says, don't worry, let me bring Canada to you. How about that? At least you still have your pounded yam and your semo and your, what are they eating in your village? Ishakpa. What's that draw soup? What do they call that draw soup? Ogbono. And they put different kind of fish inside for you. There's, for those of you who are into those things, listen to me. The seduction of going after something that you see in another person's life can be very subtle and intense. For some people, it's almost like they want to drag you to the altar to marry. Because they can see it. God has told me. God has told Tobe, but since Kenny is not hearing it quickly, she dragged him. After we marry, you will see it. Satan paid a very dear price for it. Aspiring for glory, because for you to now get what you are looking for, you will be required to go off the plan that God himself has already prepared for you. So it is something that calls for caution. Number two. Many fall away from the plan of God because they become distracted from the main things. Many fall out of the plan of God because they become distracted from the main things. Our Lord Jesus visited a home, and while he was sharing the gospel with one of his spiritual children, the sister came out, Martha, right, and said, Master, tell this woman to come and join me. Let's cook. And Jesus, the food was for him. And everybody in the neighborhood knows that anytime Martha is cooking, hold your husband. Hold your husband well. My brother-in-law, my wife is very good at making moi moi. Now, don't ask her to help you. It's just for me. I'm only giving you a testimony. But I didn't realize that other people knew. There are things about your wife you will not know when you are cutting, because she doesn't want to scare you. I didn't know my wife loves big cars. Like this. I thought she was a very humble person. And me, I didn't even know how to drive. Not to talk of the kind of car I like. It was my wife's brother-in-law that told me, you sure you want to marry this guy? I said, I hope you know she loves big. He now did his hand like this. I said, I now looked at her face. The guy was shocked that I didn't know. And I asked my wife, what does it mean by big? I said, like BMW, Ford, all those kind of cars. That the price is big and the car is big. I said, but you know we are Christians. Well, don't. Jesus said to that woman, even though the food is for me, don't be distracted from the main thing. Because you will still be in the presence of God and you'll be going off target. The woman was still in the same house with Jesus, complaining and laboring over something that the master did not give approval to. These things are very subtle things. They are very quiet. They are things to prioritize. My friend said, Benga, what if I give my tithe to those who are hungry outside? Doesn't it make sense? They need it. You are actually blessing them, right? But what did Jesus say? Give unto Caesar. Your tithe is not for Caesar. It's not for that man. You can help him. Your tithe is separated and consecrated unto God. The only allocation God makes for not giving your tithe to the priest is when you are in a strange land. There's no church, there's nothing. Give it to the homeless. Give it to the fatherless or the widow. God will accept it. If you find yourself on the journey and you need to tithe, and you, okay, there's nowhere here and there's no mobile app, no internet. Give it to the person on the road here. Who needs the money? Huh? God will take it. But the poor you will always have with you. So you will always, it's not, helping the poor will not be a one-time thing. So just get ready to keep helping. It's not, don't confuse God's own with that one. The main things. Main things include how you live your life. Are you living for Jesus? Or are you expecting God to play catch up with you? There are people that believe that God will understand. There are people that believe like, oh, you know, God is my homie. God got me. I see it on status, it's a lot. Some people's WhatsApp status are not even born again. There are people's status that I know. Every time I see it, I plead the blood of justice and I ask for forgiveness. Because the things I see, things that normal eyes, an innocent brother should be protected from. So I start pleading blood of justice on my soul. And I'm a pastor, but I still plead the blood of Jesus. Oh God, what's happening to this mic? Don't be distracted from the main things. Your relationship with God. God says to this person, go and apologize to Tina. But because he's a man, and he's a red cap chief, in their village, men don't, a man like this cannot say sorry to Tina. Even if Tina is the daughter of the king. But because of his own cap, it's just a cap. We can change the color to blue or yellow. But because he now reminds you, I am a red cap chief. But if you say that in Yoruba land, we don't even know what that means. Or we just see that you are wearing a red cap. The moment God says, go and apologize to her, that becomes the standard for measurement of what God will do with you next. If you rationalize, if you explain it away, if you try to, she offended me first, you are marking your script. Come on, say the first things first. He said, but I have something against you. You have left your first love. Do you remember the way you used to be when you first gave your life to Christ? Let me tell you how it was for me. I used to trek 2 hours to go for fellowship as a young boy. I was the only one in my family who was born again. And I'm talking about 28, 29 years ago. I would buy, you know what they call ireke? You may not know it because you are not born in that generation, or you don't know what ireke is, or maybe what you know is sugar cane. But we call it the name it is from heaven. Ireke. And when those malans come, we just buy like 5 naira or 2 naira or something. We just buy. Those days we spend coins. And don't worry, because some of you, the only coins in your account is that 0.3 kobo after they remove SMS alert. Don't worry, I got you. In those days, we spend real coins. You buy ireke and we chew it till we get to the fellowship. Sometimes we wait till we are through with the fellowship around 4. There was no phone for my parents to come and say, where are you? It's when you see me at home. It was one of those days that my dad took a rock and was going to mark my face because of my position that I would follow Jesus. Even though he didn't mark it, but he marked my soul because I didn't forget. He pushed me on a mound of gravel. And he took that thing and said, you are embarrassing me. I will mark you. And I held his hand. There is only one law. Hold his hand. But he marked my soul. Even though he didn't mark me. Now, just imagine this fine boy. Just look and say, but this mark. Then I have to explain that mark to every girl I meet. Say it when I was praying, you know. I look for one story. And that persecution continued until the day that one of those days my dad could not fight me anymore. And he called me and said, Gbenga, pray for me. And I stood over my dad that day. He could not bear me speaking tongues. He could not bear it. He could not, like, who are you? You are my last son. Who are you? You are speaking in tongues. It's not like you now speaking in tongues in front of your pastor. So. It takes humility to take something. So I stood over him that day because he was sick. We're alone in that room. And he wasn't breathing well. There was no other person. On the day that David will face Goliath, there will be no other person. On that day, said Gbenga, I need you. Pray for me. And he started saying amen. When he passed, the only thing I inherited from him was his Bible. Because he was called as an evangelist. Focus on the main things. Don't get distracted. You don't know how much time you have. We pray that everybody should live long. But you don't really know how much time you have. Focus on the main things. Don't get distracted. Because the moment you begin to look at other things, what happens is that what? You begin to fall out of God's plan. Number three. Many fall out of God's plan because they begin to love the world. The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of our Father is not in him, or will not remain in him. Do you know what it means to love the world? It means to love the ways of the world. There are people here that are not fornicating, but they see those who are fornicating like, wow, they enjoy you. At least you still have time. You, your own conscience will even finish you, beat you. Nobody knew what you did, though. But you'll be crying. It's like they are flogging you. Nobody was there. You are the only one with your bubble that knew what happened. See the way Joy is looking at me. I'm not talking to you. You are a very holy person. You are very righteous. You are very sanctimonious. You are very perfect. I'm only looking at you because those who are concerned cannot look at me and I cannot look at them. So I use a holy person like Toby. They are not here. But even if you are, you have a mercifully high priest. I'm your pastor. Come and tell me. I will know how to tell God. Baba, she's our daughter. Help her. But when you conceal your sin, the word of God says, he that covers his sin will not what? He will not prosper. It's not maybe. It's not... Do you know what it means to love the world? It means to envy the world. When you see the way they are living their life, stoning themselves with money, bundles, and your mind is like, hey. What does it mean to love the world? It is to wish you are back there where you can be free without restriction. Do you know what the devil said to me? The devil said, young man, this is the best time for you to go out there, enjoy your life, so that when you are now like 30, 35, you can now come back. Who told you you will come back? Me, that the first time I went to club, it was as a Christian. It was my customer that took me to club. There are things I cannot tell you, because to be insulated against sin, there are certain places you must not find yourself. I don't know. Do you want a perfect pastor, or can I just be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? Be honest with you. I can tell you things, but I don't want to spoil your faith. I was not pastoring this church then. But as a Christian, I bought cigarette for someone. And we're just talking. A lady. So when I tell you that God loves you, God is merciful, God is patient, I'm not telling you as a Christian. I'm telling you as somebody who knew what he was doing when he did it. So there are not things I'm proud of, but hey, it happened. So don't let anybody tell you that I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm a confirmed one. I understand. There's nothing you can tell me that will shock me. I will just say, oh, praise God. But I'm not shocked. But you got to protect your heart. Because when you begin to love the world, sometimes you will not know. It will look like you are watching a film. It will look like you are listening to Olamide Rock. I don't even know that song. But is it? I don't even know. I don't know. They are not in this church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just, because the people in the world, they take their time to work on the beat. It's not the song, it's the beat. Then you, before you know it, the choir leader has been listening to them. They will now say, let's sing a song with this kind of beat. Bringing evil spirit into the church. God forbid. You have to protect your heart. The issue of loving the world is one area that nobody can beat his chest and say, I'm insulated. That's why God said, do not love. It's an instruction. You may find yourself there and you'll be going gradually, because when you are beginning to love the world, it will not come in the fashion of something you hate. It will come like something you really appreciate. Well, watch. Let me leave my wife. Well, delete. We were watching a song, the song that this gospel musician, I don't know if he sang it today, something Phil Thompson. Yeah, Phil Thompson. So my wife, I was at the dining, and then the guy was, I was the one who put the song, because we were talking about the atmosphere of the spirit. And I went on YouTube, got the song, like, this one looks like a powerful song. Do you know the song, one of his popular, we sing it here. So I put the song there, and I went to the dining. I was at the dining when I heard, and this guy is fine. The guy is tall like a basketballer. Like, see the way people are laughing, and you like Canadians. I was there. You know, I became angry. Sincerely, I thought the root of jealousy has left me. So I came back to look at the guy. I want to meet this guy. Then I looked at the guy. His hair was skinny. This was the way I was skinning my head, but my wife was complaining. Way back. Then he had this beard. Then he was singing like a atmosphere break. I said, don't mind all these Americans. Don't mind all these Americans. Now, as you see, I don't finish. Nothing. My wife said, what's your problem? I said, you are annoying me. How can I be here? And you are telling me somebody is fine. And I told her, I said, do you know that so-so lady? Do you know that lady? The one that sang, do you know Judy? I said, do you know Judy K? I said, she's fine. My brother, ask me one time, 11 p.m. last night. It's good to marry prayer partner, but marry your friend. You say, how dare you? You will go back to your father's house. You will use goats to come and beg me. You will now know I'm a red cap chief. Some people, their wife cannot even play with them. You are loving the world. Because there's a part of you that loves to play. That is the area Satan will exploit. If your wife cannot fill that gap, you are in trouble. Say, I like him. He's very serious. You better look for your friend. Number 4. Many miss the plan of God because they are carnally minded. Look at what Paul said. He said, is there no strife amongst you? Anywhere you see a person that they are always begging, that doesn't listen, that's a carnal Christian there. Some people will be angry and they're using the Bible to justify their anger. Paul said, is there no strife amongst you? Where you are in an office or you are in a particular place, the people there that don't talk to themselves, their names are Chinonso, Chukwe Buka, Brother Ezekiah, Brother Habakkuk, Brother Lamentation. All those people with destiny, fresh destiny in God, said, no, I don't like it. I don't like insult. Is there no strife amongst you? That's what Paul said. And listen to me. The plan of God for your life is revealed in men. Everywhere you need to get to in your life is men. Do you know that even as a pastor, there are people that talk to me on the phone and they are lying to me. And then God is telling me he's lying. This is where he is. But I don't talk. I always say, oh, it is well, it is well. All right, because if you... I don't want people to be afraid of talking to me. And it's not every time. But good number of times. Good number of times. Yeah, Alpha. Okay, okay. Ah, but what am I seeing you behind the Access Bank? Hey, I just left the place. It's one of the perks of ministry. Perks. If you want to be doing it, come and join us. Come and join the priesthood. Carnality is always justified. Because there's always like a reason for it. When you are striving with someone, when you are upset at someone, when you refuse to forgive but not forget. Say, I'm not God, though. I'm not God, though. It's only God that can forgive and forget. Carnality. Because you are looking at the subject of forgiveness from the posture of the flesh. God is the only one that will forgive you and still leave the microphone in your hand. But all I say, go in our old church, go and sit at the back. When you see the pastor sitting at the back for 3 weeks, you know it's on suspension. Say the Sunday school director was seen fighting with somebody outside. So according to the word of God, let him sit at the back. So you'll be taking note too. And when he serves his punishment, he will come back and sit in front. But now, if a pastor makes a mistake or a believer, we are the one that will drag him to social media. That's why I don't comment on spiritual things on social media again. Because many people are alive, they will answer when they die. Do you allow anybody take your wife to the cleaners in public? If the church is the bride of the Lord, what right do you have to correct his body in the public space? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I said even as evil as you are, no matter what your wife did, can you allow your neighbor to be washing her in front of the compound? You can't. And the church is the bride of Jesus. I don't know, Christians today are not sincere. You will answer. Just wait. Carnal Christians. This is a family matter. We will settle it. When some of you heard when Archbishop Duncan Williams talked about his issue with Archbishop Idaosa. You heard it. When he went back to apologize, what did Archbishop say? He said, Satan, this is a family matter. Take your hands off my son. Carnality can look spiritual. You have to be very careful. Because the moment you begin to go on that tangent, all your effort will be how you will be justified. And the Bible says, by the arm of flesh, no flesh can be justified in his sight. See, the church is quiet now. This is why I don't like preaching on this kind of message. Everyone will be quiet. Shall I tell you a story? No. People can also begin to miss out on God's plan when they become depressed. People do stupid things when they are depressed. People go and visit their old girlfriends when they are depressed. People take a bottle of Gouda when they are depressed. People do things they cannot control when they are depressed. The moment you are depressed is when you need to be with people. Come on, say, I hear you. Everybody at some point or the other may sometimes get depressed. Okay, you can get depressed. Maybe something happened in the office. Are you with me? You may be unhappy. But God is saying you have to watch it. Somebody that is not even up to your age mate in a meeting in the office will just say something. And like, ah. We just say something. One of the things I hate the most is wasting my time with people. Wasting my time with people. There was a particular brother. He go to me, was with me, and you know, your son in the Lord. Your son in the Lord. I spent hours and months having one-on-one meetings with this person. If you know you are not going to listen, why are you wasting my time? I got some Netflix I got to watch. You can't just stay and be messing me around. I just finished Black Lightning, man. You can't be doing this to me. And I sat down. The brother will come with his note. Yes, yes, yes. You're right. Pastor, this thing you said, God told me 2 weeks ago. You will mark it. Keep me outside the front of my house.
2 hours into the night, 11 p.m., giving instructions.
But the devil said that his bed will not have a resting place.
So recently, he has cut off for a while then. Recently, he sent me a WhatsApp message.
Say, Pastor, I'd like to come see you. I say, no, you can't see me. You've lost your access to me. Access is very important. Don't play with it.
I say, he lost it. Say, Pastor, I just have some things on my heart. I say, you can post it on WhatsApp. But I can't do that time anymore. And I say, I cut you off. He was upset. He felt justified. But I say, I cut you off. I say, but I tell you what, the next time God gives you the privilege of having a mentor or a spiritual father or a pastor in your space, manage that relationship well.
He said, oh, sorry. That's the problem. You have made a foundational error. Sorry doesn't correct such.
Did you hear what I said? When you make an error when laying your foundation of a building, sorry doesn't... So you are trying to absolve yourself. That sorry doesn't fix the problem. Because you want to say sorry and then make me come back and fix the problem. No, you have to fix your problem.
I was talking to him when he got to me. He got to me and was like, Pastor, why are you doing...
He got to me, so, because when I was chatting with him, I was smiling. I would post smiling emoji, love emoji. The person didn't know where I was going until I just hit the point on the head and I blocked him.
Even Jesus said to a tree, I give you one more year.
Huh? My annoyance with the brother was not that I spent my time with him. It was that my effort was wasted. And I said to that brother, everybody who was not doing well that came around my space, they started seeing the hand of God in their life immediately. Every instruction I gave you, if I say fast, you will eat. If I say pray, you will say back is paining you. Now you are looking for somewhere to put the reason why your life is not moving forward. Going to a private university is not an insurance for anything.
So when you see many people that are depressed, the first key to bringing them out of depression is repentance.
I shared the story of a woman that came here. Yeah. The first key out of depression is repentance. Somebody is looking to himself. Somebody is trusting in his own effort. Somebody is believing, I'm the only one that will look for these school fees. Somebody is thinking, where will the rent come from? I don't know where to go. Somebody is thinking, where will the next job come from? Somebody is thinking, where will my husband or wife come from? The moment you begin to look to yourself, the grace that you supply will be withdrawn. You will enter depression. So the first key to restoration is repentance. And when people are depressed, they begin to do crazy things. They start making decisions in the flesh. I hope somebody is listening to me. People can miss out of the plan of God for their life when they choose their spouse wrongly. You have a glorious future. You have a great life ahead of you. You choose the wrong wife simply because she is always on dreads or she's always wearing Mary Kay and all of that. Or you choose a husband because he's working in Chevron. He doesn't own Chevron, but he works there. Those things are good. Say amen. Amen. But they are not the primary basis. I am like this today because of one woman's work. Or two women, my mom and my wife. My wife told you people some time ago when we got married, I didn't plan to build a house. I just wanted a 2-bedroom flat so that we can serve God. But after I went for a meeting with Baba Delvan at Parkview, were you with us that day? Sule was there when he came. We were at Parkview, Ikoyi. I got into the house of a medical doctor where this is the parlor. Beside the parlor is a swimming pool. Don't ask me how they designed it. But I started knowing what heaven will look like. Do you know what I'm saying? You are in the parlor, you are watching TV. Beside the parlor is a large swimming pool. Then behind the swimming pool is the dining. And you want to say, she's the owner of the house. Please sit.
Papa Devon will be around very soon. Ha! I told my wife, I'm having ideas of what our house will look like. When Papa Devon entered us, he started prophesying. Who will not prophesy? He even gave me prophecy inside that house. I knelt down, I received it. Oluwa. Oluwa. I received this one. I like it. When the woman's husband came out, you know those matured men with gray beards, you know. Kenny, if you see that man, you will want to have beards. He had these beards like my own, but they were whitish, gray. He was introducing him to Pastor Devon. Said, Pastor, it's so privileged to meet you. Stop talking softly. When you scream, 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 we know where you are living. Marrying the wrong spouse can affect a lot of things. Marrying somebody who struggles with you instead of complimenting you can be a problem. Maybe I'll stop here, but I still have like 5 more. This is one area Satan has sworn he will get most people. There's a particular brother that was getting married, and he came to my house from the UK with this American wonder. I've never seen an American wonder that doesn't wear a ring. She just plays her hair, and she's from the UK. Wow. Wow, I like you already. I will not spend too much money. Is it not just to be plating the hair? Oh, I have money. Let's plate. The lady sat in my parlor, didn't utter one word. It's as if you could pour water in her mouth and meet it there after 10 years. She didn't talk. Very godly, long skirt. Praise God. This guy you can take home to mama. When you say, mommy, this is the lady, she said, she's an IT specialist. She majors in 3D animation and software programming. I like you already. When is the wedding date? I don't care about where you come from, whether you are from Benin Republic or Togo. Just when do you want to get married? My own brother, who is the groom to be, is the one we have been praying for, that God should touch his life. So when he brought this girl home, we say, thank God, we have found wife. This one will be bringing him to church. You know that kind of woman? It will be, who is like that here? Who is very spiritual here? Nominate yourself. You know, somebody that, they go to church. This wife, go to church. Prayer, she joined prayer band. But as we sat on that chair and I was looking at them, the Lord told me, this is the person that will kill him. Please note, the person in question is spiritual. My own brother is not so spiritual. So I should be happy. I should be happy for my brother that he has found a Christian. Huh? I was sitting and the Lord said, this is the person that will keep. They must not marry, the marriage will not last. That's what the Lord said to me. And I was, as I did, we are serving them minerals. We are serving them, not cocoa, minerals. Minerals. Coke, Fanta, biscuit. She only took one. Confirm. This one, we are not here to eat. We are here to marry. Michael, don't let anybody deceive you. And it's both ways, though. I'm only saying this because this is a family matter. Are you with me? The Lord said to me, and I told my wife, they must not be allowed to get married. I said, what did you see? I said, that's not his wife. Before I knew it, before I could say Jack Robinson, we were in the Parkview Estate dancing. We are going to prostrate. And I told my wife, they are not supposed to get married. See, but I told our family, we told everybody that was matured and elderly in the family. Bagudum. All I knew is that we were all dancing to the altar. Bagudum, 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 bagudum. They're so close for all of us. Bagudum, bagudum, bagudum. We are all dancing and prostrating. I will not join you and prostrate because Baba told me he's not here. So I moved back. 3 months later. Say 3 months. 3 months later, the girl moved out. The next thing, lawsuit. She wants a divorce. You know, reach 6 months, sir. 3 months. Ah, let family gather. They sent for me. Let Benga come. I sat in the meeting as a privileged observer. Because I know they put mouth. I don't talk with you. I won't talk since. Don't turn me to a false prophet. I've said what I needed to say. Sometimes in trying to be too nice to people, they will bring your anointing down. Now, if you cry in front of me, but don't tell me what you want, I will just tell you sorry. Because sometimes when I tell people, so what can I do? I realize I'm offering them help that they don't even want. I'm telling you, it may sound harsh, but maybe some of you understand what I'm saying. You help people prematurely, they will rub it in your face. If you want, because you are giving me pencil, but what you want is biro. So I sat in the meeting for 4 hours and I never said anything. Until my dad said, Benga, the Lord told you something. You see, now we are coming home. Everybody will first say his own. This is what he's doing. This is what he's doing. Then we will dance around rubbish. Then when we are finally ready to hear God, somebody will now say, so what did God tell us before? Unfortunately, this is a real life situation. It's not a dream. There are people that are fornicating and saying that God understands and the wedding date is tomorrow. It's a foundational issue. So I stood up. I said, Daddy, thank you. I gave this word and I mentioned it to my wife and she mentioned it to you. These people are not supposed to be married. I said, but before coming for this meeting, I asked the Lord last night that what can be done? What can be done? There should be a remedial program. Huh? And the Lord told me, and he gave me this scripture, and I quoted the scripture. And the Lord said that there is a condition that must be fulfilled if this marriage is to have a lifeline, but that they will not be able to fulfill it. Are you hearing me now? What are you supposed to do? Hear the condition. Huh? And I read the condition from the scripture. And that scripture was in 2 Chronicles. That's the scripture the Lord gave me. So sometimes when you come to me and I refuse to say, thus hear the Lord, it is because of past experience. People behave like they want to hear God, but they don't really want to. They are not ready for it. My brother, as I'm speaking, you know I told them they will not be able to feel the condition. You know I told them. I still told them that day. And I told them the condition in that meeting. The pastors that joined them in holy matrimony were on seat in that meeting. I was the youngest among all the pastors there. I was the youngest in age that was allowed to be in that meeting. And I still told them what God said. And they still could not fulfill. As I'm speaking, they are divorced. This is family. So please, I love you, but there's no sentiment to who I marry. The same thing for you. You may love me, but love is aside. Look into the eyes. Are you ready to marry a pastor? This one will sleep for church. This one will fast. This one will pray. This one will not be looking like a well-fed guy. Because anytime the stomach is coming out, we fast again. If you don't like to marry someone like me, then it's okay. Love is fine, but we've got to move on. Choose your spouse carefully. There was a man in the Bible. He almost lost everything. And the devil positioned his wife close to him. His name was Job. It was his wife that was telling him to curse God and die. It's better for you. Your Bible say, Ikuya Jesse. I don't know how to explain that one in English. That it's better for you to die than to be disgraced. This, it should not be said that in our lineage we have this kind of disease. It's better for you to die than to now rob the remaining generations with their great-grandfather had leprosy. You know that kind of thing. At the end of the day, sir, when God restored him, did he send the wife away? The woman still born plenty children. It takes a level of maturity to be able to stay at that level. Again, on the issue of marriage, many focus on the wedding and forget that after the wedding is when the real prayer starts. There are people that lost their jobs after wedding. There are people that started battling terminal illnesses after wedding. It's not like the devil doesn't like anything that is good. So please, the anointing you're supposed to be using to be taking care of your life and your ministry, you start using it as prayer point. Can I shock you? It is not a sin not to marry. It is not a sin. And it is not a sin not to have children. It's a cultural thing. So don't put pressure on yourself. It will happen when it is time. This issue of marriage is where most believers compromise, including those who speak in tongues. There are cases where I can't tell you how many times I've had to hold online sessions with people where I have to like talk to the two of them. And that's why sometimes it's hard for me to share some stories, because some of those people could be online watching. Dreadful stories. Eh? Dreadful. Dreadful. Like when you marry and then you realize that you married a wizard. Not a witch. The wife realized the person she married was a wizard that wears shirt and tie. Very handsome. But in his lineage, they have that thing there and he practices it. Or when somebody is telling you that if we must marry every so-so time of the year, we will go to our village to honor the family altar. But the guy is in church. Sir, I can't do it. Oh. Do you love him? Yes, you will do it. Ah, Pastor, are you telling me to do it? You don't want to do it. You don't want to. You can combine. You can combine. You can bring Jesus. All those things, they are the same thing. Say, Pastor, what I say, are you crazy? Leave the relationship. Why are you telling me? Don't you know what God's word said? Why? You want it to say, it is the woman you gave me. It was Pastor that said I should leave the relationship. The guy already told you, Tobe, when we marry, so time of the year, everybody must go back to the village. There's something we always do. Just do it, dance with them. Believe what you believe in your mind. And there are people like that, wizards. Don't look at that suit. Ask him direct question. Do you people have idol in your family that you normally go every October to go and check? Ask. Because those are the things you will deal with. The Lord will give us wisdom. For us to remain free, after this month of resetting of foundations, there are things that we must decide to do. And there are things we must decide to undo. And there are things we must decide to not do again. The greatest evil I've seen is when God has revealed to somebody, this is your situation. This is what I don't want you to do. And then you find yourself doing that thing again. Have you ever been close to a lady before? And God told you, stay away from her. And the moment God said it, you find yourself wanting to go back there. You just knew that you cannot be close to this person again or this guy. You just be in your house pressing phone. You just say, call Chike. Call Chike. Then you'll be sweating, you'll be struggling. You feel like taking a bike, not driving, taking a bike to Chike's house. It's the devil, Abby. It's flesh. Because affliction will always arise for the word's sake. Before God said it, nothing, you didn't feel anything. The moment God said, don't go there again, your body will be doing you as if you don't go, something will happen. So these are very innocent ways people miss out on God's plan. And I still have about 5 or 7 of those points. So what does the word of God say as we close? Say, take it to yourself. Don't be bothered about too many people. Watch yourself. Take heed to yourself. Don't be interested in giving people prophecy. Prophesy to yourself. Watch yourself. The ground is slippery. as you go today, pay attention to these things. Listen to me. The days that we are in, if you don't expose yourself to the word of God often, sometimes you are not really listening, but just let it be playing in the background. When that my New Jersey girlfriend was telling me to come, do you know, I have to be honest with you, if I just sat there in front of the TV, I'll be seeing New Jersey. It's not that I want to offend God, though. I'm not planning to run away. But I told my wife, you know, unconsciously, I didn't even know when I started talking that. Do you know that I should have been a U.S. citizen by now? That I started counting the opportunities I missed. That by now, I would have been a legitimate. This girl is not looking for, she just wants somebody that, you know, because of the high divorce rate, like somebody who has a homely family, whatever. She's not even interested in my Jesus. Like, do your thing, I do my thing. New Jersey. I saw myself at the beach. I saw myself, you know, like using my English name, Solomon. You know, you can't pronounce Jibenga. Don't worry. Just do Solomon. I saw myself. But there is one powerful thing about sin. If you bring it out into the open, if light shines upon it, it dies. If I now sit down in my room, where they say, let's pray, because some people could not pray last week because of all these New Jersey opportunities. Let's pray. Every foundation. Lizzie. Because her name is Lizzie. Lizzie. In Jesus, amen. You knew that your amen was weak. Lizzie. Your children will be half caste. No, you go first do them. That's what Satan told me. So you are not the first that will do it. You won't be the last. God will forgive. That's what Satan said to me. So I'm in front of the TV. Any American film? New Jersey. Lizzie. And I say, but how much can I save? How much can I save to travel? I'll just go for 3 weeks. Settle everything. The mind starts becoming crafty. They now notice that you are becoming cranky at home. When they greet you. Oga, you better tell us what is wrong with you. Bring this sin out into the open. Since so it thrives in secrecy. The moment you tell him, the moment, Tina, you tell him that you and this brother or IK, you have something together, the struggle will start breaking. It will start breaking. Confess your faults. One to another, so that you may be healed, not forgiven, healed. The moment you found that you are not able to resist sin, there was a spiritual injury in your spirit that needed to be attended to. If not, even if you ask for forgiveness from today to tomorrow, it will not work. It's confession. These are the battles our generation will face. My son asked me 3 weeks ago, Daddy, what's fornication? I didn't know where to start from. I'm looking at him like, I'm looking at his age. He said, what's fornication? I said, let your mommy come. I'm telling you, I didn't know what to tell him. Where do I explain? You know. So those are the battles. When you say you want to marry, those are the battles you are preparing yourself for. To answer difficult questions. A boy that is not 10 is asking me, Daddy, what's fornication? A boy that is not 10 asking his father, where do I start from? Is it how God wants people to marry? Or what sinning against? I beg, let your mommy come. When the mom, when you went out, this boy said, what is fornication? She looked at, I said, don't look, say something. Because me, I don't know what to tell him. Those are the opportunities you have to disciple. Because that generation will ask direct questions. The Lord will give you grace. and it will bless your heart. Your feet will not slip off. You receive grace to do the right thing. There is a grace to do the right thing. Today, God will give it to you. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you will not sell your birthright. You will not sell your birthright out of pleasure. In the name of Jesus. And we receive grace for everybody. Everyone who is struggling with a particular situation, with a particular habit, you are struggling with something. Today, the grace of God is released on your behalf. You will not be a sheep in the day and a wolf in the night. Now, if you are here and you have struggled with sexual sins, I want you to take the next 30 seconds to repent before the Lord, because the grace is available. One of the things, Kenny, that most people don't know is that something that is rampant now is extramarital affairs between couples. Like, they are both having affairs outside with another couple, not single people. It's rampant now. You may not know, but I got to tell you. So, I'm doing this secretly. My wife doesn't know. My wife too is doing it secretly. I don't know. But we all show up at home like normal people. And the person I'm doing it with is married. The person my wife is doing it is married. Why? It is popularly said that that is the best way to keep a secret. When we both have something to lose. Don't worry if you don't understand. But pray, by the grace of God, you will not find yourself there. Because if I talk and she talk, the house will catch fire. So let everybody just... I don't want her to leave her husband's house because of me, because I cannot marry her. She too doesn't want to cause problems. So let's be coding it. When we say this is people want to cover their face, they don't want us to talk about it. But the only way to defeat it is to bring it out into the open. If we bring that thing out, people are married and they are falling in love with other people's wives. Other people's husbands. The only way to expose it, bring it out. So that we can all receive mercy. Don't be deceived. People are slipping away from God. Angry people. Somebody who has been posting dangerous things on Facebook for the last 3 years called me and said, I have repented and back to the faith. Posting things about pastors, posting things about men of God, posting things about church, posting. He now called me and said, I've repented, I'm back to the faith. And I asked him one question. All those things you wrote, can you take them back? You can't. I said, but it's good enough that you found mercy. It's good enough that you found mercy. But look at the damage you could have done to the body of Christ. Can you withdraw all those things? Because now, pray for your pastors. Being a pastor is a lonely life. Because even if I'm hurting, when I see you, Shade, the day you called me, did my voice sound anyhow to you? Do you remember the day I'm talking about? The day you called me. Now, let me tell you something. That day you called me, I was alone at home and I was dying. We were fasting. It was David that knew. I was severely sick. My wife had to go to work. I couldn't go out. And I was given chloroquine. I can't remember the last time I used chloroquine in my life. But the effect, the thing was doing me anyhow. And I was alone. That day you called me. You know, I told you, let me call you back. I needed to gather strength to talk to you. That's why I asked Pastor David, when is the closing time for a pastor? Because I don't know again. There are some of you that are coming late in the night and I pick your call. That day, I was not feeling fine. I was being treated. I was being treated. But when I prayed for you, you saw immediate answer. But me, I needed to treat myself. So if we ever make it on that day and stand before the Lord, it is because we held our hands, come, and we walked together. This is how we are going to get there. Some days I'll call you and say, I'm not feeling too good though. Then you pray for me. Another day it may be my turn, I pray for you. There is no superstar. There is no superhero. This superhero thing has sent many to their graves. And they died like heroes. And yet God said it was not their time. I was suffering, yet I was ministering life to others. But I tell you what God did that day. The moment I finished praying with you, I noticed a token of strength was now given to me. So I was able to get up. When you called me, I was lying on the couch. There was no light in the house. I was shaking. But after I prayed with you, I noticed an allocation of strength was now given to me. And I was able to get up. And I walked to the kitchen. And I came back and I took some water. Listen to me. Every time you choose to be selfless, every time you choose to stand with God, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you feel, there is an allocation of grace that will be given to you. You can't pay for it. You can't pay for it. And today that grace is released. The grace to be strong when others are weak, you receive it. The grace to be free when others are going into bondage, you receive it. The grace to keep your head when others are losing theirs, you receive it. The grace to shine as the star in the firmament when other glories are being covered, receive it. No one will put out your light. No one will cover your glory. Nobody will cover your star. You will shine brightly till Jesus comes. You will shine brightly till Jesus comes. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, celebrate the Lord and give Him praise.